the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Coming this evening. Apologize, we didn't have a quorum at the last meeting and had to schedule this one because some of these issues are time sensitive. So we'll call the meeting to order. Trustee Harris?
Here.
Trustee Genrich?
Here.
Trustee Raptor?
Here.
Trustee Vandenhoven is here. Trustee Dart is excused. Trustee Gass?
Here.
Trustee Dennis is also excused. I'd like to suggest one modification to the agenda, that we move item 6 up to 4B. We'll take care of that. It should be relatively quick, I think. Not yet. No. Are there any other suggested modifications to the agenda? Does anyone want to see anything moved up or down, sideways on the agenda? Is there a motion to approve the agenda as revised? Trustee Genrich, second. Trustee Harris,
second. Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Announcements. I have one announcement. The interviews for the village administrator will take place this weekend. We have four finalists now. One has dropped out. There will be a social slash open house between 5:30 and 8 on Friday evening here at the Village Hall, where anyone from the community can come and meet the candidates. It's going to be an informal setting. There'll be no formal question and answer. It'll be more like a meet and greet. So if you're available at all between 5:30 and 8 this Friday, please stop in and meet the candidates. There will also be a form for you to fill out with any reactions or feedback that you have from your discussions with the candidates. Mr. Lang.
Saturday night at 8:30 will be the Movie in the Park down in Green Isle. It's free. We'll have late refreshments, popcorn, and snacks. Show the movie Grease, and we'll have a good crowd. Or no rain.
Yeah. Any other announcements? Hearing none, we will move on to item 4. Is there anyone who would like to speak this evening? We're going to open it up for you when we get to the license. So. Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to item 5, or old item 6. Action regarding the request from Barrett and Lorenz LLC, Trailmasters Bar and Grill, Jill Lorenz, 2150 Riverside Drive, for license to sell fermented malt beverages and intoxicating liquors from July 1st of this year through June 30th of next. Is there a motion with regard to this item before we hear from the petitioner? Trustee Gass?
I'll move to approve the request and license.
Is there a second? Trustee Genrich seconds. Unless there are objections, I'll suspend the rules and we'll hear from the petitioner. Okay, now, yeah.
Sorry, I've never been to one of these before.
That's all right. Could you state your name? For the
Jill Lorenz.
And your address, please?
Personal address or bar?
Either or.
515 Peters Street.
Okay. Thank you. Any peculiarities about the, anything you want us to know about the application? Any?
No.
Can you describe the business? And
it's just a bar and grill.
Okay. Is this the first license that you applied for here?
For me, yes. Okay.
And how long have you been in the bar and restaurant business?
For 18 years. Okay.
This is not an inquisition. I'm not. This has nothing to do with the application. I'm just wondering.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to welcome you to the community. 18 years, good. What's the concept for Trailmasters?
We're just a friendly neighborhood. Both we like to keep it good food, good drinks at a good price.
Okay. Well, we like to promote alleyway businesses, so I need to know what to tell people when they ask what's Trailmasters.
That's the tagline. Good food, good drinks at a good price.
Good price. Got it. You and I can remember that.
And the name hasn't changed, just the corporation and
okay.
The agents.
Good. Anything else that you want to know?
So you're
about
the
trail
new
mixers?
Owner of Trail Mixers?
Yes, my boyfriend and myself, yes.
Okay.
And the liquor license will start on the 1st of July? We have a board meeting the 1st of July, don't we? I'll let you open.
That's why 1st, that Tuesday?
It's a Tuesday.
Yeah, we're there until midnight, at least.
All right. I remember that. We might have to announce a possible quorum at Trail Mixers. Good. Any other questions or comments?
And the Trail Mixers is still operating under the old owner until...
So until July 1st, yes.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations. Welcome.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you.
Good luck.
So when do I pick up the license?
I'll call you as soon as it's picked up.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Before July 1st.
Yes.
item 5, action regarding the awarding of bids for the reconstruction of the Rush Family East River Trail. Is there a motion with regard to this item, or do you want to hear from Mr. Lang? Okay. Unless there are objections, we'll suspend the rules and hear from Mr. Lang without a motion. Yes?
I do have Craig Chu from Harrison Associates here tonight, too, just to help answer any technical questions that I may not have an answer for. When we opened the bids, obviously we were a little disappointed in the price tag. And probably more disappointed in the fact that we only had an unbidder. Craig did a lot of searching to find out why that was the answer or why we did not have multiple bids. And I don't know, Craig, if you want to expand on that at all?
There was a vast array of answers from the 6 or 7 contractors that pulled plans but did not submit bids. The trail is very labor intensive because of the lack of access points. So there was a lot of research that was required by these contractors to identify access points outside of the parks that allow access to it. And I just don't think they wanted to do that. They won't tell me flat out. The one contractor that bid this project works a lot in the community with the water main breaks and so on and so forth. He's very familiar with the community. So that obviously aided in his bidding process. There was no questions that were brought to Ayers Associates or myself during the bidding process on plan questions or plan errors. So above and beyond searching out these questions after the bidding process, I'm not going to expand on it too much, but there was nothing consistent that was inaccuracies or questions that had been brought up that people did not bid on.
For the last few weeks has been contacting the apparent bidder, asking for ways that we may be able to reduce the project. What is it that the village could do to help reduce costs? And the biggest reduction that we could look at doing would be to not complete the entire trail within Green Island Park. We'd rather start at the southeast corner of the footbridge from Bellevue into Green Island Park and then continue south to BC Park. That savings is approximately, I think I labeled it in here, about $73,000. That still is quite a bit over what we had budgeted. So working with Claire to come up with the potential of utilizing unassigned fund balance, we tried to explain the fact that the village does have a above their policy percentage in the unassigned fund balance.
Thanks for noticing, Brian.
Yeah. So, we're looking at a couple possibilities. A, either fund the project with an additional $167,000 out of the unassigned fund balance, reduce the amount of trail within Green Isle Park and then continue south to Weezy Park, still needing to use about $94,000 from fund balance, I believe. That's the appropriate number. or we can rebid the project, reject the bid and rebid. It does carry some uncertainties. Number one, we will lose another access point to the trail, which could cause the price to go up. Once Hoffman Road is reconstructed, we lose that aspect. As Craig alluded to, it's very labor-intensive. So it's one truck in and one truck out. It's not being able to stack various trucks because there's nowhere to turn around and maneuver throughout the trail itself. So that's where the labor-intensive aspect really starts to come into play. We did work with DeGroote, and we could save an additional $5,100 if I buy the products, if I buy the stone and the culverts, so I'll save the tax aspect. So which we've looked at almost every potential method of saving some funds. We have to maintain the 10-foot wide minimum trail width with the 2-foot shoulders. Some of the other uncertainties that we weren't, or unexpected costs, number one, the delay in the whole project itself through the permitting process. But we found that we needed to add a much larger culvert in one section than we anticipated. And I think there, in total, we had more culverts than anticipated. So that also drove the cost up a little bit as well.
The application that Brad had put together for the trail was done, it was 3 years ago?
Correct.
So as this process has gone on, as many of you have seen, fuel prices rise, labor costs increase. All of that adds to the increased cost that has come on since the application was filed with the Department of Natural Resources for the funding request. So it's been, everything has kind of compounded through this whole process, unfortunately.
Brett, I have a couple questions for you with regard to that. If we don't do the whole trail, the approvals that you had to get and the permits that you had to get were for the whole thing. So we wouldn't have to go through a whole delayed process if we decided to do Green Isle, the rest of Green Isle, next year.
No, I wouldn't believe that would be affecting it at all.
If you go through Green Isle or go through the Department of Natural Resources for additional funding, I would have to confirm with the permit, but the permitting process that delayed us was we had to do a wetland delineation, we had to have wetland concurrence, we had to have culvert evaluations, so we had Corps of Engineers review of that, and the stormwater management specialist for the Department of Natural Resources. Those culverts will all be handled in the trail section that we're proposing still to be built.
Okay.
Yes. The rest of Green Isle Park has no culverts, and the area of disturbance would be under an acre, so we would not have to do additional permitting above and beyond what's done already.
Right. Okay. But that's all documented in this original application anyway, right? So that should go quicker.
Right.
And then you're able to apply for funding for the rest of the project if you choose to do so, right?
Correct.
Not guaranteed, but...
It's not guaranteed.
Okay.
I did make a call to Craig said when we called the DNR, trying to find out if there was any available funds yet this year that we could apply for, and at this time, no. So it's one of those things that if we would have known this before May 1st, I think she indicated that we could have increased our project. We would have made an addendum then.
Hindsight's 2020, right?
Yeah.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak with regard to this issue?
Well, I just came because I wanted to make sure that you saw the value in going forward with it, and I was hoping that you wouldn't say, well, you know, let's just, you know, forget about it. But I think it's a good project, and I think it's worth moving forward on. So I just wanted to make sure that's right.
Thank you. Could you state your name and address, please?
Oh, I'm Rebecca Nyberg, 214 7th Street.
Thank you. Anyone else who'd like to speak with regard to this issue? Anything else? Brad McCray.
Brad summarized it very well in his memo to the board.
All right, we'll take up the rule. I'm going to start with this one. I think we should, we're already delayed. Folks are expecting this. We talked about this before. I really think we should get as much of the trail done as we can. I don't think we should do the whole thing and borrow that, take that much out of fund balance, even if we are over the 30%. But I'd like to see us apply for additional funding and get the rest of it done next year. So I'm in support of going ahead with the project from the bridge south, and then we're still going to be short making up the balance of that from the general fund.
Is that option B you're looking at?
That's option B, yes. I would suggest that we have Brad buy the materials as well. We're going to save, it seems like a pretty good use of your time, right, to save $5,000 by?
I think so.
Okay.
Pretty simple. The gravel supplier was that the contractor had put was Dannon and Jansen. And I believe the village works a lot with that company. So it was, I don't know if there's an account set up there, but Dannon and Jansen said, yes, we are fine with it being handled that way too.
Okay.
So you have a good rapport with that, with that supplier.
And that five wasn't figured in here yet, right?
Correct.
Okay. So it's an additional saving.
Trustee Gann?
I'll second.
I didn't know I made a motion, but I guess I made a motion.
Well, I thought you made
a motion. Consider that my motion.
Motion-like to me.
I'll make a motion, an official motion, to go ahead with the project, the trail project from the bridge southward, and having Mr. Lang do the purchasing to save some money there with the balance of the project from just that area being made up from the general fund, and that we move forward with applying for funding for the Green Isle, rest of Green Isle portion for next year. You second that as well, Trustee Gibbs?
That was much better said than the first one. Yeah, I'll second that.
For the discussion, Trustee Genrich.
Oh, just more of a comment. I think we would certainly be consistent going ahead with this project as we've done with other things in the village. I think we all observe what kind of use the trail has had and what the Fox River Trail gets, and I just think it's a great project, and I would support going forward with that option.
Trustee Harris?
What percentage of the project are we not going to get accomplished? Ballpark.
Well, it was roughly 1,375 feet. I believe it was 13%. I don't have that actual percentage in front of me. But that is, it's from when you drive into Green Isle Park and the trail starts on your left.
Yeah.
Or the north side, it would be wrapping around to the north to the East River and then proceeding to the east towards the bridge. So we'd be not doing that portion in the summer, fall of 14.
I haven't done an official traffic study, but I see a lot of people who actually drive through the park, past the tennis courts to get to the trail, or they hop on at the bridge because they're going to and from Bellevue. I don't as often see people using that access point right when you enter the park.
Well, and I do have a pretty little orange light in my back window of my car, and one morning I drove the entire trail in Green Isle with my car. That stretch in Green Isle is probably the best stretch of the trail.
Right, absolutely.
So if you're leaving the better section of trail and really doing the worst section from the bridge to the south, where
right,
there's culvert issues and tree roots that have pushed the trail up and affected it adversely.
Right. Good. Trustee Rappier?
So, Brad, the difference right now is about 76 grand for the rest of it, somewhere 75 to 80 for the part that we're not doing?
Correct.
Do we have an idea? Will that be about the same cost next year? Are there setup costs that we would incur that would...
The plans are already done. It would be some very minor modifications to that. And then there was also alternate bids that were received as part of this base bid for the trail to complete the rest of Green Isle to the south around the Ball Diamonds next to the, is that the warming shelter for the skating? Brad and I have talked. We, Ayers Associates, suggested that you apply for funding for all of that.
So wrap around the whole park, basically.
Wrap around the entire park to make it a continuous use through the facility, utilizing the park to its fullest.
So that would be part of an application for next year.
Correct.
I guess, piggybacking off of what Trustee Rafter said, it would seem to me that even if we weren't going to wrap around the whole park and we were just going to finish this project, that from what I heard Craig say, this has the least amount of issues with regard to analyses and things like that as well. So I wouldn't imagine that. I would imagine there would be more people interested in it. It's a pretty straightforward, simple project than we had for the whole thing and the
so
single
maybe
access points. It might be more competitive next year.
Correct.
It'll be cheaper next year.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Item 7, action regarding the conditional use request from Wireless Planning LLC for replacement of three additional antenna on the Purveya Clinic at 1821 South Webster Avenue and the schedule of public hearing. This is from the Planning Commission. Trevor, is there any background information that you'd like to give us before we proceed?
This went to the Planning Commission in their early June meeting. It was approved to recommend it to the board. Since then, we've brought to my attention that there is a new state statute that limits us as far as what the municipality can and can't say regarding to cell phone towers and antennas. In this instance, we really have no say apart from the new statute. So, after that was brought to my attention, I asked our disclosure attorney, and he confirmed. So, really,
so this motion could die. This item could die for a lack of a motion.
Correct.
That would be very appropriate.
Yes.
Okay. Is there a motion with regard to item 7? Trustee Gann?
I will do approve the conditional use request.
Okay.
Well, may as well approve it.
Is there a second? Trustee Denry. Discussion?
I have a question or point. Trustee Dennis was talking to me, or he was telling me about one of his resident in the area who's right near, I guess, these cell phone towers, and she has a medical issue. She's gone through radiation and that sort of thing. And she was wondering, can she be notified when they turn it on or power it up so that she can evacuate or something? I don't know. Is there a way, do we have a communication with the provider that we can do that, or how would we go about notifying the provider of that?
Craig, do you really have a correspondence with folks, or is that just when they're going up on the water tower?
The provision we have with the cell providers is they have to notify us when they're going to inspect the equipment or go up on the tower, and we have somebody present.
And no matter where it is?
Well, that's on the facilities that we have in the water utility. Elsewhere, no.
Okay.
Elsewhere, I don't have that.
All right.
Okay.
Is that a one-time startup you're talking
about? Yeah, I think it was the installation and initial startup.
I think so.
Yeah. Trevor, you could probably work with the provider and get that information, right?
Sure. Given it's a healthcare provider, you would think they would be responsive. One would hope.
Well, I think you'd be dealing more with the tower company, the LLC that's quoted on here. Wireless Planning LLC, to make sure that this resident is notified when the initial installation will take place.
I'll ask Trustee Dennis to get in touch with you and give you the contact info.
Okay.
Mr. Burton, did you have something?
I was just going to say that the cell providers are very cooperative in that regard. It's not a problem. If you let them know any special requirements, startup time or whatever it might be, they'll work with you on it. They're very good at that. They run into that all the time.
And is that really a one-time bring the system up and there's a spike or? Okay.
Trustee Harris?
Do we know what the adjustment to the state statute, will we be seeing any more of these requests come through? If someone else, you know, will the conditional use request be a moot point going forward?
I'm in the process of modifying our ordinance to match what state statute requires.
Okay.
So that should be go to the planning commission probably in the July meeting and come to the village board if they recommend that ordinance.
But we'll still find out when they plan on putting additional antennae on the location. Is that right?
Correct. A lot of any projects have to at least get a building permit.
A permit, right.
So
we wouldn't necessarily be notified.
Right, that was my next point. Can we develop a process whereby if a permit is pulled for something like this, and I'm going to add that the village board is notified that it's happening? We have no control over it, right?
Right.
Is what you're saying. But I'd like to know when it's happening because the residents will ask us. And
it's an awareness and communication.
Awareness and communication, right.
I can add that too.
Okay.
Also, not sure if we'll be able to approve a conditional use because it require a public hearing.
Right.
Yeah, this would have to go to a public hearing, so you don't want
to. The motion would have to. So we'd have to go through extra procedural steps
just to approve it, and our approval doesn't mean anything.
Correct.
Would you like to rescind your motion, Trustee?
I would be more than happy to withdraw my
Trustee Genner.
Motion that made no.
I would withdraw my. I would withdraw my second.
Okay. So, Trevor, do you have everything you need to move forward and make sure that we're not only complying with the state statute, but that that we'll have a process for notifying the board and resident?
Okay.
Good. Is there a motion with regard to item 7? Is there a motion with regard to item 7? A third time. Is there a motion with regard to item 7? The motion, item dies for lack of motion. Item number 8, action regarding resolution 2014-14, approving the CMAR report for submittal to the WDNR. We've seen these reports before. Craig, I'd like to hear from you if there are any peculiarities, anything we should be focusing on. I think I read in your memo that not much has changed since the last CMAR report, and there are some requirements that we have to take care of.
Yeah, the first page summary really hits the high points. And basically, from a financial standpoint, our revenue is a little higher than planned by $133,000 for 2013, but also the Green Bay net charges were $73,000 higher because of the amount of rainfall we had last year. We were 5 inches over the average rainfall, so our flows were up a bit. The other item under the financial is the net increase in cash in the utility was $98,000 for 2013. But that's a little misleading because if you recall, we had increased the rate to cover the Whitney and Betty sanitary sewer when we found that collapsed.
and that was about $45,000 in cost. But that got charged to 2012 because that's when the work was done. It was November, December 2012. So had it been charged in 2013, we would have had about a $50,000 net cash increase in the utility or income in the utility, and that was what our plan was for. It was about a $50,000 income. So basically, we were right on plan despite a couple changes in numbers. Other than that, really the big item is that we were issued our new WPDS discharge permit. It's been in the works for some time, a period of years. The Department of Natural Resources was somewhat delayed in getting permits issued. We are a satellite sanitary sewer system, meaning that we discharge to another treatment facility, which is Green Bay Metro. The big item in the new permit, and the reason why the permits were delayed for many, many communities, we weren't the only one, is because of implementing the Compliance Maintenance Operations and Management, CMOP, program. So that officially is a requirement now that we have to comply with. We already do the items that are required in a CMOP, but we don't have the reporting function that you have to have in a CMOP program, which is, best way to describe it is a three-ring binder that shows everything you did for the year. We're going to have to do that, and we have 2 years to put that program formally in place. And if you recall, in the past, we've talked a bit that at some point in time, we were going to begin to shift somewhat away from water main repair and replacement, more towards sanitary sewer replacement as a focus study, try to make minor and major improvements to reduce infiltration and inflow. Paragraph 4, item 4 in this memorandum, kind of hits the highlights of some of the things that we're going to have to focus on in the future. Drip control program and more of the sanitary sewers, more inspection of manholes, continue our televising and grouting program to reduce leakage. So that's going to be our focus here as we move forward to do a little more in that area and as time goes on, continue to do more. So there'll probably be less of the water main side, but more in the sanitary sewer side. And that's really the direction that we're going to need to go over the next 2 to 5 years is what that's going to be.
Any questions for Mr. Brent? All right. Is there a motion with regard to item 8?
I'll move to approve.
Trustee Genrich approved. Trustee Rafter approved. Is there a second? Trustee Genrich. Seconds. Discussion. Thanks for the summary, Craig.
I did have one quick question about the report. Page 4 of 10, the legal authority sewer use ordinance last revised, it was July of 2004. Is there anything that we need to do? Is anything adjusted in the last 10 years that would cause us to have to look at reviewing sewer use ordinance?
Actually, our sewer use ordinance is just out of date. The one that's in our code book, like many of our codes, is somewhat out of date. We adopt the Green Bay Met sewer use ordinance, so that is the one that we operate under. And that's a good point. I didn't think of that. They actually did update their sewer use ordinance in early 2013. I think that is the case here, or it was late 2012. We did have input to it, but they did update it.
So, Craig, we follow what Green Bay does, but what's in our actual ordinance?
It's a pretty standard ordinance, a cookbook-type ordinance, and it lists the calculation of the rates and things of that sort, how the bills are calculated and so forth. And it adopts the Green Bay Met ordinance, the current ordinance, the Green Bay Met. So it's not a very detailed ordinance, if you will. It's pretty basic.
So in our ordinance, we actually refer to the Green Bay ordinance.
Yes.
And so when they update, by association, we update it. So this should be changed to 2013 or whenever?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I'll change that to the revision date of their ordinance.
I'll consider that a friendly edit and not take an amendment for that detail. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 9, action regarding the approval of operators' licenses. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Trustee Gass?
I'll move to approve.
Is there a second? Trustee Harris? Discussion? Any peculiarities with licenses?
Usually they're under the consent agenda, but they need to be approved before the end of the month.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Is there a motion to adjourn? Trustee Gass, second. Trustee Genrich, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.